Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of the Body Wisdom Podcast. We are so excited that you're here. We are your hosts, Kiara Orbe and Gabby Barboza. If you're new here, welcome. We're so excited that you're here. Body Wisdom Podcast was born in 2020 and Gabby joined in 2022. And our intention has just been to have the most incredible conversations with incredible guests surrounding nutrition, nervous system health, spirituality, relationships. We go deep here because it's not just one thing that is impacting your health. There are so many layers, my friends. We are multifaceted beings, and Gabby and I like to get into it over here at the Body Wisdom Podcast. So if you have not listened to an episode before, be sure to scroll back and listen to some of the most incredible conversations that we've had here on the show. Today on the show, we have our friend Arielle de Martinez. She was a hairstylist in a past life and has made it her mission to kind of spread this word of holistic hair care that is not only good for our well-being, but the well-being of our hair strands and our environment. There's so much that we get into today, so much that Gabby and I were like, wow, that's crazy. Never knew the difference between this and that. Arielle just broke it down so beautifully.
Yeah, I feel like she comes from a unique space being in the hairstylist world, and just feeling, she talks about this and you'll listen, but feeling like as she got into holistic wellness, the things she was doing at work wasn't really complementing what she was talking about to clients. And that's really when she made the big shift. And so what we want to empower you with is that it doesn't have to be so overwhelming. There's so many products on the market. Same with skin health. There's so many products on the market. And how can we really simplify and even use things that might be in your kitchen to support your scalp, to support your hair, to support the oils? And I don't know about you guys, but Kara and I both have very curly hair. And growing up, I often felt left out of the hair conversation. Nobody was talking about how to take care of curly hair. And Arielle has wavy curly hair too. And so she has really figured out how to support our hair as well. So you will be included here.
Yeah, she has her Sovereign Curls method PDF, which I have, and I'm excited to get into. She just has so many methods that I'm like, never heard of that. But these are traditions that have been used. Was it in like Morocco that the clay was founded in? You'll listen in the episode and see what she's talking about. But these are things that aren't going, it's going to heal your hair. It's not just going to just like slap a bandaid on like, how can I smooth my hair? How can I do this to my hair? It's like, do this and you really won't have to like worry about your hair again, kind of situation. So with that, she also gets into like how, like if you've been in the holistic health space for a while, the transition of like modern hair care to like non-toxic, quote unquote, hair products. And they're obviously like a plethora of brands these days. We really have to be mindful of like reading the ingredients and doing our research and knowing what's truly non-toxic versus what's like just greenwashing, I guess. Like just the marketing can be so good from so many of these brands. And that's not to bash any of them, but like just, yeah, doing your due diligence, doing your research and finding something that works for you. But with her methods, it's kind of just like already done for you, laid out in a PDF for you, step by step. Really awesome. So we're really excited for you to listen to this episode. Let us know what you think, and we'll see you on the other side. It's one of your hosts, Kiara. As Gabby and I are both practitioners and lovers of health and wellness, we love supporting our bodies every single day, throughout the day. Lately, we've been enjoying adding Perfect Supplements Perfect Mushroom Immunity Powder to our smoothies and warm water to sip on mid-afternoon. The powder is a blend of organic reishi, chaga, and turkey tail. This powder has been carefully curated to support mental and physical fatigue, maintain healthy blood sugar levels, enhance gut health, relieve digestive issues, increase energy, help with stress and anxiety, reduce brain fog, and more. What's really important about this formulation is how the mushrooms are processed. The best mushroom supplement is the one with the most nutrients. So there's actually a study that explains that beta-D-glucans are the primary component in mushrooms that provide its medicinal properties. And alpha-glucans are a type of polysaccharide and are primarily found in starch and grain. Mushrooms will not have more than 5% of the alpha-glucans. And the perfect mushroom immunity powder has been lab tested and contains more than 15% beta glucans and less than 5% alpha glucans. So this is what makes for a true nutrient dense and medicinal mushroom. We trust Perfect Supplements so much and love recommending their products to our clients and students. Perfect Supplements has been so kind to provide us with an exclusive offer for the listeners of the Body Wisdom podcast. All you have to do is head to the link in the show notes and use code BODYWISDOM for 10% off at checkout. Welcome to the show. We're excited that you're here. We're excited that you're listening to this episode all about natural hair care. I feel like I get questions on hair health all the time, and sometimes I'm like, this is so out of my wheelhouse. And so I'm so glad that we're sitting here with Arielle DeMartinez so that she can give you all of her juicy tips and education on this topic. So welcome, Arielle.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming on. We're excited to dive in. So I guess first and foremost for our listeners so that they can get to know you a little bit better and so that we can get to know you a little bit better, what is it that led you to natural and holistic hair care?
Well, it's a few different paths that kind of seemed to converge. I'm a hairstylist / sometimes ex hairstylist. I don't really know how to say it because I still do hair, but I don't work behind the chair. So I've done hair since I was 17. I graduated high school a year early, went straight to hair school, knew that was what I wanted to do. Pretty early on in my career, I started working for a big time manufacturer that makes like a lot of popular hair care products as a cutting educator. And I just really loved what I did. And, kind of what I do now, it kind of mirrors what I do now, but virtually, because it was a lot of education, right? I was educating my clients, I was educating other hairstylists. As life went on, I got married, had a baby, got a lot more interested in, my life was slowly becoming more holistic and natural over time. And, of course, I think what happens to a lot of women once they have kids is they have like a big push to like get everything out of their house that's like somewhat harmful because, they're pregnant and they're nesting and they want just like the best for their babies. And so that definitely was the case for me too. And, I'd pretty much eliminated everything that sucked from my life within reason. And hair care was something that just was really hard for me to let go because I used it at my work all the time. And so I didn't use fragrance at my home, but I'd go to work and I'd use all these hair care products. And I never used shampoo on my daughter's hair because it just felt weird. Like I didn't use soap on her body. So why would I wash her hair with shampoo? And I wasn't confident in the ingredients and blah, blah, blah. And then with time, I started to reveal this other side of myself, the woman that I had kind of evolved into over time to my clients. Some of my clients had been coming to me since I was 17. So there's like a lot of changes in my life. I had my daughter when I was 27. So it's like 10 years, that's a lot of evolution. And so I started to reveal this side of myself as a healer because I got, I was using herbal medicine a lot. I was making herbal medicine. I'm starting to be more open about it, sharing it on social media. And my clients were starting to recognize me there as well. And they were asking me questions about their health and their wellness and, a lot of it revolved around, like female health and hormones and stuff like that. And it felt really hypocritical for me to say like, you got to get rid of those endocrine disruptors in your house. And at the same time, they're commenting on the scent of the shampoo I'm shampooing their hair with. And so I'm like, okay, like, what can I do? And of course, I'm looking for alternatives, not better, low toxic alternatives to have in my salon while still maintaining the integrity of, you know, the products that I was accustomed to. And I couldn't really find anything. You know, a lot of natural hair care products are really heavy in like butters and oils. And those don't work for, you know, a lot of, like, they work for some hair types, but not all hair types. And typically, even with the hair care types they do work for, over time, you see a lot of buildup and just like nutrient starvation from the hair. And then also, you know, every single natural hair care product I found was scented really heavily with essential oils. And I prefer not to use those, especially, you know, like around my kids and stuff like that. And so at the time, I just couldn't find anything that worked. And so I just decided to start experimenting on myself. And I gave myself a challenge to not use shampoo for a year. And it just kind of evolved into this really cool revolution, I guess, of where now, you know, all of these women, I'm teaching all of these women how to get rid of products and stop using shampoo and not using natural hair care products that they can make at home in their kitchen. And it's something that finally I think people feel really good about using because, you know, this is hair. I hear all the time hair care is like the last thing on someone's like no tox list because it's just so overwhelming and there's not a lot of good options out there. So, yeah, it's really great.
It makes so much sense that you would be having this almost like, I don't know, it sounded like it was almost like an awkward moment of I'm telling people to do this stuff, but then I'm currently using a product that might be going against what I'm saying. So going back to those products, what is that traditional hair care over time doing to our hair? Like what would be the journey from, say I don't use traditional hair care, but say I started using it today, what might I see happen to my hair over time? Or what is some common complaints that you would get? Or what would you see on the actual scalp since you were like up close and personal with it?
Beyond the biggest thing I see, and this is pretty common for fragrance and essential oils, is like that immunotoxic reaction, which looks like eczema or psoriasis or like an inflammatory skin condition, right? So that was something that I pretty much would see behind the chair pretty regularly. But beyond that, I mean, you know, we live in a squeaky clean culture. So everyone's hair was squeaky clean. You don't really get to know your hair and thus the rest of your body, you know, when you're scrubbing it to death and just constantly like pathologizing it as dirty. And so everyone's hair was squeaky clean and shiny and fine and everyone loved it, right? But to understand the problem with that, we have to kind of go back a little bit in history and look at like traditional hair care and how it evolved into today, which, you know, women were originally would use clays and plants and some of the methods I used to wash their hair. Sometimes it would evolve into using like saponified lard and like soaps on their hair, which is different than shampoo, which I'm still not a fan of the soaps for a few reasons. But, you know, that was that as kind of things evolved and hygiene evolved and, you know, we were being marketed towards more, you know, women were using soap on their body. They started using it on their hair. Then in World War I, surfactants were created. Cocomitoprol is one that you can see on an ingredients list. It's one of the higher tox surfactants, which is what we call the soap that's in shampoo. And this was used to cleanse war equipment. And when the war was over, they needed something to do with it, right? Because now they have this new product, this invention. And so it just kind of got cycled into hair care. And what we now know as shampoo was created. Now, the problem with this is if you think about something that's used to cleanse war equipment, it's pretty like, you know, it's pretty heavy duty, right? And our hair and our bodies naturally create sebum or oil for a reason, right? To coat our hair, nourish it, nourish our bodies, keep our hair soft, silky, shiny. Our body makes everything that we need for our hair. But this ingredient was stripping drastically all of the natural ingredients that our body was producing to keep our hair healthy. So then in turn, you created a problem. Now we have to solve it with conditioner, right? And so we're constantly in this cycle of like stripping, trying to replace with synthetic ingredients. And then on top of that, you know, the hair is never quite, it's never quite like, it's constantly seeking the homeostasis that our bodies create. And so we have to use more styling products and more things to get our hair to behave the way we want it to, which a lot of women find, you know, using my methods or stop using shampoo altogether, that their hair behaves a lot better. It's a lot lower maintenance. It's a lot just easier when you stop trying to, you know, fix and change, and you just kind of go with the flow of what your hair wants to do. You know, generally your hair will get, even if it's straight, it'll get a little bit of wave. If it's curly, it'll get a little bit curlier, you know, it'll be naturally softer, shinier, have more natural volume. All of those things that we're trying to constantly put in there with product that isn't actually necessary.
Yeah. There are so many products on the market today, and like the 10 step, like hair care, like there's just so much. It's so overwhelming. And everything that you're saying too, just reminds me of what I learned when I first stepped into like the holistic health space, and like overwashing ourselves and like stripping our microbiome from our face, from our skin, and then having to overload our skincare, our body care, the lotions, everything. It just feels so unnatural and so unnecessary, especially when you start to become aware of everything that you're teaching. So you mentioned clay, and I'm sure for a lot of people, and this is the case for me too, like, oh my gosh, I wash my hair with clay. But you just mentioned that this is something that has been done like in the past, and we kind of just lost touch with that. Yeah. So what is that transition like? How, like, is it like a powder? Is it like actual clay? Like, and then the oily pieces. I know a lot of people who are transitioning from like more traditional hair care, and they transition to even just less toxic versions of hair care. They go through that transitionary period where their hair is like really oily and just like disgusting, and they're like so tempted to wash it. So what does that look like? And yeah, what would you say to someone who's going through that transition right now?
Yeah. So first of all, washing your hair with clay is one of the methods that I talk about. I use specifically Rasool clay, which is a clay that comes from Morocco. It comes from the Atlas Mountains in Morocco. And it's been used to cleanse hair for as long as people have been living there. And you can still go there today and go to little hair, they're like little hair co-ops, I think what they're called. And there's women, you know, making hair oil and using Rasool clay, and it's, you know, making hair care products with this clay. But, you know, we get it in like a powder form, kind of like how you would get like bentonite clay, you know, to make a face mask or something. But the reason why Rasool clay is so great is because the pH of the clay is the closest to the pH of our actual hair. And also, it has like a natural polarity that helps pull like mineral buildup off of the hair. And also in turn, that gives the hair some like natural body and volume, which a lot of people, you know, really like and seem to miss, especially when they're going through transition before, you know, everything, the hair kind of adjusts. There's also plants that you can use as well that are high in what are saponins, which is what, you know, basically is a natural form of soap. And so there's a couple different routes that you can take. And so part of transition, you know, really what, if you think about what we call it transition, what that is it's a period of time where your hair, you have been cleansing your hair, some people every day, right? Some people it's daily, have been cleansing their hair, stripping it. And your body at this time has gotten used to, you know, you cleansing your hair often. And so it produces a lot more oil than actually it normally would, because it's always going to try and get, you know, be more moisturized. And so like, it's kind of the same concept of like when people talk about shampoo training your hair to only have to wash your hair like once a week or once a month, you know, over time, your body will naturally produce less oil when you're not trying to strip it off all the time. And so this is basically that, but on a much higher level, because your body basically is going to release a lot of oil until it moves all the way down your hair strand and coats it all the way down to the bottom. And in the interim, until it reaches that stage, it doesn't look great. I think a lot of times women with thicker, longer hair have an easier time with this. And I think it's because your hair natural, like, I think it kind of like your body's already adjusted to, in a sense, to like, it's produced enough oil to travel down the ends of your hair strand because it's long. And so it just kind of happens a little bit faster, but that's not always the case. I just find that to be a little bit generally longer, thicker haired women have an easier time. But what this generally can look like is, there's a stage, you know, at first you're like, oh, this isn't too bad. This, you know, but there's a stage where about a third to a halfway through, you know, the hair, your oil is coating about half of your hair. So that's really slicked back and greasy and oily. And then the ends are in comparison, your ends are really dry, very frazzled, maybe, you know, especially if they're not used to like just doing their own thing, you know, normally you're putting silicones and things on them to like seal the split ends. Your ends are just kind of like, what is going on? And so, in contrast, it just looks really bad. And so, this is the time when most women give up, they can't handle it. They don't want to be seen in public. I definitely was doing hair behind the chair during this transition. And so for me, I was like, wow, I can't even believe that I'm telling my clients how to do their hair right now when I look like this. But there's a lot of things you can do to manage it. And during that time is, you know, when, you know, a lot of times people are finding they're getting their hair wet every day, or just doing like a simple apple cider vinegar or herbal hair rinse on it every day, just to kind of like do damage control until it gets to the point where all of a sudden one day everything has coated your hair strand and you wake up and your hair looks amazing. So
yeah, that transition, I feel like I always wondered, it's so interesting why I've never dealt with that. Like when I went through the transition, it's because I have so much hair. Now I know. Would you say, I'm curious your thoughts, this just kind of came to mind as we were talking and can be just a quick thought maybe, but is there an aesthetic that a lot of people are after that you think is not really naturally how their hair looks? And so we're chasing this aesthetic that we see based on the silicones and everything that's making the hair super shiny and just like super vibrant, but we kind of have to lower our expectations? Or do you think that we can reach that level, not the same like level, but reach that somehow once you're through the transition period?
I mean, I think the biggest aesthetic for hair is like cleanliness to an extent, and just like body care in general, right? It's that squeaky clean feeling that people are after. And in turn, you know, that's hair that is never out of place. It's very put together. I've always had kind of wild, frizzy hair that I've embraced, and everyone is, a lot of times I would hear from my clients like, oh, I wish my hair's curly, but it doesn't look like yours, you know? And I would always say like, actually, if you had my hair, you actually wouldn't like it, because you have to let go of the idea that every hair has to be perfect in its place.
And now for a quick pause to chat about today's sponsor. Did you know Cozy Earth was named one of Oprah's favorite things in 2018? You guys, that's right, Oprah. Cozy Earth's bedding collection offers a variety of luxury pillows, sheets, blankets, and more. And if you feel like you have to switch out your bedding every couple years, so do I. You're not alone. You won't have to do that with Cozy Earth, because they have a 10-year warranty, because their high-quality items are made to last. They may be a bit of an investment, but they're sure as heck worth it. What's also really cool is that whenever I go to wash Cozy Earth's bedding, it only gets softer with every wash. And whenever I would wash any ordinary bedding, it just would never come out the same. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about, but I think you do. And in case you guys are wondering which color I chose, I got the oat. I feel like it really goes with my warm terracotta, peachy, rust vibes in my loft. And I am loving them. And whenever my friends come over, I'm like begging them to lay in my bed and feel the Cozy Earth difference. Anyway, you guys, don't wait to get your Cozy Earth bedding. Cozy Earth actually provided us with an exclusive offer today for Body Wisdom listeners. You get 35% off site wide when you use code BODYWISDOM at checkout. Now back to the show.
with the pictures that women would bring into me behind the chair was always like tousled and a little messy and not perfect. But then when you replicate it, they're constantly smoothing and fixing and wanting everything to look the same. And so, you know, I think kind of women who have an easier time accepting that, or who weren't like that in the beginning, have a little bit easier time with this, because, you know, this really turns into a relationship, right? And it increases our body literacy and our relationships with our body. So things are going to change daily. And based on how things change, that's a language that we're learning to interpret and, you know, learn what our body and our hair is trying to tell us that we need and what's going on. And so, and just kind of, I think, so my answer to that question, beyond just like embracing the variation of change, it's, you know, it doesn't go well for people who like a certain aesthetic, but you can, I think in time you can, find a variation of like the hair aesthetic that you like. And for some women, a lot of times this expectation might end up being something like, your hair is actually not more low maintenance. You're just swapping the products out that you used to use. So for women who cleanse their hair every other day all the time and they like that feeling, they might not want to just use an herbal cleanser once a week. They might want to do it every other day with a cleanser like Wild Sweet William that you can, you know, that you can use every other day. So for them, it's not less maintenance, right? It's probably the same amount of maintenance, but they're just swapping out their hair, toxic hair care products for natural ones. You know, there's this idea, especially because it's what happens for a lot of women, is that like, you know, you do start doing this and you use these hair care products less and less frequently and your hair, you know, just kind of does its own thing and is amazing, but you have to be like willing to accept that. And for women who aren't, that's just the alternative, is that you're not, your life isn't getting any easier. Your products are just getting cleaner, if that makes sense.
It does. And this is helpful to hear from me, because I do feel like I fall underneath that category where like my hair has to look a certain way. I have, if you can tell like from the camera, like Gabby and I both have really thick, like she has, I think, more curlier hair than I do, but I'm still kind of like wavy. And I have your curly hair method, like PDF. I like have it. I was like ready to go. And then I was like, but wait, like, the thing for me is like in the shower, it's so hard to like comb through, and the smoothiness of like the conditioner and what that offers me. I'm like, oh, my hair's so smooth. Like, oh, my hair, like I can run my fingers through it. Cause if not, then I'm like, oh my God, my hair's a mess. It's like, it's like, there's like a rat's nest under there. And like, I don't know. There's just something with like being able to run my fingers through my hair that feels very, I don't know. I don't know if clean's the right word, but it just feels good. And so is there anything like, or I guess, would you say that these methods would work for everyone? Or is there ever an instance where you would say like, maybe not?
I think that variations of these methods work for everyone. And, you know, I've worked with women with very fine thinning, like borderline alopecia hair. And I worked with women with really coarse afro textured hair. And of course, we're not recommending the same thing. This method doesn't like blanket cover every hair type. We're kind of shifting and learning what works, which is why I have the guides. You know, I have the No Poo PDF and the Sovereign Curls method that both just kind of lay out all your options. And then you can kind of go through that and figure out what works. So like for you, what, like, you know, you're saying is you really like that soft feeling of being able to run your hands through your hair, and like tangling is what bothers you. And so there's things that you can do, you know, to get that. But even if like for a while you have to use like conditioner on your ends to get that, you know, to kind of get you through that transition of like, okay, you know, cause once the natural oils make it all the way down, there's a lot less tangling. But you know, your hair's kind of in the beginning, your hair just kind of freaks out and doesn't really know what's going on. And so it is like, you know, your cuticles are probably a little bit more raised. It might even be tangling more because you're not having those other products to soothe it out. So if you need to use some conditioner on your ends every once in a while, That's okay. You're not stripping anything by doing that. And if a lot of women with coarser, curlier hair find that that helps in the beginning. And then slowly, you know, as you go through transition and as your hair becomes easier to deal with, tangle wise, you know, you can work in things like flax, things that give your hair slip, because the slip is what you like. The slip is what makes it easier to detangle. The slip is what kind of gives you that like softness. And so that can look like aloe, whether it's like aloe juice from the store, aloe gel without, you know, not like the sun cream, because that usually has a lot of preservatives in it, but, you know, like an aloe gel that's similar to like the sun cream, or aloe straight from the plant, flaxseed gel, apple cider vinegar rinses actually do a pretty good job once you're in transition of giving you that slipperiness. You could even dilute it with like a cold in marshmallow infusion. Marshmallow root tends to be really slippery and have a lot of mucilage. And so, yeah, you can just kind of work with all of that and see what gives you the best option for your hair with time. And you can even add like a little drizzle of conditioner. I recommend if you're going to use conditioner, I like Under Luna. She has an unscented one called Clear. And you can just add a little drizzle of that, like in your rinse, just to give you a little bit of slip as you're like technically like weaning your hair off of it. And the same thing goes for shampoo too. Someone who's been washing, shampooing their hair every single day for the past, like, you know, however long, they're not going to be able to go once a week. They're going to have to slowly wean off shampoo. So I know some women who just kind of go to every other day or every third, you know, they might still shampoo their hair once a week for a while. I know one woman who has a lot of lot of benefit just doing like one tiny pea-sized amount of shampoo in her clay for a while, you know, just to kind of like get a little bit, you know, get her through transition and get her like scalp used to like not being so squeaky clean every time she washes it, you know.
Yeah, I feel like around for like what you said around curly hair. Sometimes with curly hair, it literally doesn't matter what you do. It just has a mind of its own. And so sometimes I literally have no idea what I did to my hair and it looks incredible. And other times I've spent 45 minutes working on it and it looks horrible. And so I just, at this point in my life, it's fine. Like, I'm just not that attached to it. But something that I think you mentioned and a lot of people deal with is buildup. And I want to talk about it because buildup, dry scalp, I'm so confused on the difference. I'm so confused on like, what is it? I'm sure it's the product that you're using. And I'm also prepared for you to ruin my life, but I love InnerSense and the way that it looks in my hair, but I'm afraid that it's causing the buildup. So I know that was a loaded question. Basically, buildup, dry scalp, the difference, and does InnerSense cause buildup? Have you seen that happening? Not to call it a brand, but like that's the brand that I use and that I recommend to a lot of people because aesthetically I love the look, but I'm itchy by like, I don't know, like day three or four.
Well, I haven't used InnerSense. I know I remember when working behind the chair that it was a good like option. But I haven't used it. But I will say that the easiest thing to understand of what causes buildup versus what doesn't is finding products that are water soluble. So generally, any products that are approved by the Curly Girl method, if you're familiar, are water soluble. The difference between water soluble and non-water soluble is if it's not water soluble, you have to use soap to get it out or shampoo. So things that aren't water soluble are like really strong hold gels and really like hairsprays. Pretty much are the two, some like pomades, you know, just like those thicker ones that, you know, when you rinse your hair with water, they're still on there. But if you can get away with, you know, some of like the serums and creams and stuff like that, those are generally water soluble. So that's kind of the idea to kind of look into. And usually you probably have an idea already of what is water soluble in your routine. But it's the stuff that's not that causes buildup. Something else that I've noticed that causes a lot of buildup is butters. So like shea butters, you know, cocoa butter. It just tends, especially like from the cheaper products or, you know, just it just tends to coat the hair in a way. I don't think it does well with, I would say 90% of hair types. It's just not, it doesn't make sense to be like weighing your hair doesn't need that, especially once you're no poo. You don't need it as much. When you do need it is when you're using it for control. So if you're using it for control, you know, you can use it intentionally in certain ways, you know, to smooth frizz or whatever. But like it doesn't, I don't find that it works really well in modern hair care products, personally. I noticed a lot of buildup on my clients. But dry scalp, so buildup is what is on your hair. Buildup is what is on the actual hair strand. Dry scalp, in a sense, is a form of buildup, but it's skin cells. So, you know, our skin cells are constantly regenerating. Our hair, everything in our body is constantly regenerating, right? And so in order to do that, we have to get rid of the old. So our skin cells are constantly shedding, right? And that's like the dust around us is a lot of skin cells. And because this, you know, our skin is exposed, you don't get buildup on your skin like you would on your scalp. You know, you might notice your skin looks ashy. You might, you know, sometimes if it's really dry, scratch and see the dry skin go places. But, you know, generally we're showering. Some people are using soap or like, you know, manual exfoliation on their body with like a sponge. Even like taking your clothes off and putting your clothes on, that's constantly like sloughing off skin cells, right? On your scalp, it's the same thing, but you have hair and you have oil. And so it's not as easy to get off. So the dry scalp actually doesn't even necessarily mean your hair is dry. It's just normal, like scalp shedding for a lot of people. And so that is why the scalp exfoliation piece of my method is really important because, you know, if you're not using a chemical exfoliant, like a surfactant, like shampoo, you have to get that off in other ways. And I think that's just another one of the things of like, you know, I see everybody's scalp. I saw everybody's scalp all the time. I saw my fellow coworkers' scalps. I saw all my clients' scalps. You know, I saw kids all ages. Everybody has scalp residue in their hair. So it bothers some people a lot. You know, some people will message me and say, oh my God, I have such dry scalp. It's so bad. And I'll say, well, show me pictures. And they maybe have like three little flakes and they're like, yeah, it's terrible. You know, other people could have a full head full and they don't care. So it's once again, it's that aesthetic. It's that like squeaky clean idea. If your scalp is truly is dry, like your scalp needs hydration, you'll generally experience like itching. You know, it will feel different in the same way that when your skin is dry, but just having white flakes in your hair doesn't mean your scalp is dry. If it's itching, if it feels like it's inflamed, then it might be dry. Dandruff is the other thing that we have to differentiate because a lot of people think they have dandruff and they actually just have dry scalp or scalp shedding. But dandruff is like, it's overgrowth. It's an imbalanced microbiome. There's overgrowth there. It might be fungal. It might be bacterial. Generally, it's kind of like, it's like this overgrowth that mixes with like your natural oils or your scalp. And it just, there's like a level of rancidity there. It might not be itching. It might itch. It might burn. It might not. It generally does have an odor and it's usually like yellow. And so that is the difference between dry scalp, dandruff, and then just what our body naturally does. And then the buildup is what is on the actual strands of your hair.
I had no idea there is a difference between all these. Yeah. That is amazing.
Wow. I'm like mind blown.
Yeah.
But this is like the importance of like body literacy, right? And like learning what your body's telling you is like, we have so much external programming of like what our scalp needs to look like that like we don't actually really know what it's trying to tell us with all these different things. You know what I mean? And now when you know the difference, you actually know what your body needs.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. And that brings me to my next question. Hair masks. Are you a fan? Not a fan? Because I used to you bring up oils and like I used to do coconut oil hair masks, but I never felt like they were even making a difference. And if anything, they just felt like super heavy and clunky on my hair. Same with castor oil. What do you think?
Well, that's a double answered question as well, because most natural hair care realms use oils improperly because they use oils and they want hydration, and oils don't actually provide hydration oils seal hydration. So they can seal hydration out or they can seal hydration in. If your hair isn't hydrated and you put oil on it, it's actually going to seal hydration out and starve your hair over the long time. So what you need to do, if you're going to do a mask, I find a lot of people who go no poo don't need masks, honestly. The hair mask is another solve a problem for people who are coloring, heat, putting heat on their hair, you know, doing all of the things, you know, using standard products. You know, they need a mask. They need a reconstructive treatment because they're doing a lot through their hair. But when you're not, you don't necessarily need it. But it can be helpful, especially for hair types that kind of tend to be on the drier side. So then you're going to want to layer moisture into your hair. So that can look like putting aloe on your strands first and then applying coconut oil on top, or doing something to putting something underneath that oil to seal it in. But generally, I don't really find a need for it. You can also do hair masks with hydrating, like oil-free hair masks, like just doing a simple aloe hair mask or aloe and a drizzle of honey. Coconut milk is really great. Raw milk, like if you're a raw milk drinker and your milk goes sour, and you don't want to drink it or you have too much to repurpose, throw it in your hair, throw it in your bath. Like it's great for your hair. So,
I love that. That's good to know. That makes so much sense. I basically was just like further dehydrating my hair because that's what it was. Like I was really struggling with dry hair. I feel like it's gotten a lot healthier now, but my hair was so dry. And so I was doing everything that I could to like offer hydration, but I wasn't truly hydrating it. It was just kind of like a Band-Aid.
Oh, I was just going to say the Pinterest like trend 10 years ago was coconut oil everything. And I could always tell behind the chair when someone had been doing it because they'd come in and their hair would just be like wrecked on the ends. And they'd be like, why is your hair so dry? Are you using coconut oil? And they'd be like, yes, how do you know?
The same thing happened to me with a hair stylist. She was like, please never use coconut oil in your hair again. I was like, okay.
It took me a really long time to reframe coconut oil. Because, yeah, as a hair stylist, it's like your worst nightmare. But everyone's using it improperly. Once that you understand how to use it appropriately, coconut oil can be a really nice strengthening tool for weak hair. But you just have to know how to use it right. And a lot of us are overusing it and not using it appropriately.
This is a great point to make, I think. I want to pause here and make this note that when you hear something online, it's not necessarily the full story. And so like people take and regurgitate a lot of information on social media and they might have missed like some key points. And then you do it and you're like, whoa, this is horrible. And maybe there's like a big piece that you missed. And so very broad thing, just a reminder, don't take everything face value. So thank you. That's really helpful.
Exactly. I think everyone should be able to recognize now that we live in a world chock full of information. It's so important that we do our due diligence and do our own research and understand that no one knows exactly what works for us. So I have a question about hair growth. Of course, like we're practitioners and we work from the inside out, but from a hair care perspective, do you feel like traditional hair care can almost stunt hair growth? And have you seen hair growth by switching to the methods that you offer?
I mean, yeah, if we're operating from the lens that everybody's doing all the appropriate internal things that they're supposed to be doing to encourage like beautiful, wonderful, fast growing hair, I do find that modern hair care methods, you know, especially in conjunction with the styling and the heat and all of the things, you know, obviously over time that definitely weakens the hair, but there's a lot less focus on the scalp. And the scalp is what is actually pretty responsible for hair growth. Like if your scalp, it's kind of like a garden. Like if your soil isn't good quality, it's not going to produce the best roses. You know what I mean? Or it's not going to produce as many flowers. So you can see, you know, it's really easy to see with that garden analogy, like, you know, if you're treating the soil on half of your garden and not the other half, one half is going to be a lot more lush and beautiful and vibrant. And the same goes with your hair and your scalp. So I feel like with modern hair care, the scalp is just kind of ignored. It's taken care of because the shampoo does what it needs to do to get the scalp clean. But there's not really anything else. You know, there's a reason why it feels so good to go to the hairstylist and get your hair shampooed, right? And that is like our scalp, like begging for attention. And so I find with these more traditional hair care methods, you know, we tend our scalp a lot more. And the plants that we use, you can intentionally use plants that support the scalp. So like, you know, hibiscus fortifies the roots of your hair and your hair follicles. So what that means is the hair that's growing out is growing out stronger. Plants like, you know, rosemary is obviously very, very popular for hair growth. And the reason why, there's two different reasons why. Rosemary blocks DHT, which is the hormone that contributes to hair loss. And also it improves circulation to the scalp. And so it's just always contributing to that environment. I mean, from an inside perspective, you know, if there's not circulation to a certain point in the body, there's going to be problems there, right? Examples of that can be like hemorrhoids. Hemorrhoids are a lack of like blood circulation. You know, migraines can sometimes be caused by a lack of blood circulation in the brain. So when you think about lack of circulation to your scalp, you have hair loss. And so, you know, when you put a bigger emphasis on caring for the scalp and you're using plants and ingredients that also in turn nourish the scalp, plus you're not doing all of the like the heat and the coloring and just the kind of like surface level damage that we can do to our hair doing modern hair care. Yeah, your hair grows a lot faster and it can grow a lot longer.
So with that, we talked about hair loss. We talked about hair growth. What about split ends? What are they? I feel like as a kid, my friends would always show me their split ends. And I'm not saying this to be like, oh my God, I'm so cool. But I've never really had split ends. And so I've always wondered like what causes split ends and what can we do about it?
I, on the other hand, I also worked at a hair salon, Arielle, and I mean, I wasn't like a hairstylist or anything. I was just like a front desk kind of girl, receptionist. But I remember that's when I really started like fidgeting with my hair, and I started to notice like, oh my God, there were all these split ends. I don't have any anymore, really. I mean, like I just found one actually. But yeah, tell us about split ends. And what are they? Why do they happen? And what can we do about them?
So your hair is made up of like three, it's like classified into three parts. So you have the medulla, which is the very center. You have your cortex, which is the most like the main area. And then you have your cuticle. Fine hair generally doesn't have a medulla. Generally, it's just the cortex and the cuticle. And then, you know, the thicker the hair gets, the more of a medulla they have. But the cuticle is what we want to focus on here. The cuticle is what is responsible for keeping your hair like smooth. And your cuticle is arranged like shingles on a roof. And so and that's what keeps it smooth. So if you think your cuticle is responsible for a lot of things, it's responsible for tangles, it's responsible for frizz, and it's responsible for split ends. Because what happens, every interaction that you have with your hair risks raising those cuticles up, right? And so those little shingles on your hair. And so what happens is, you know, like heat, your heat is gonna, you know, cause your cuticle to stick and lift off of, you know, a flat iron or something. Brushing your hair really aggressively when you're like breaking it, teasing, back combing, all those things can like lift your cuticle. When you're back combing your hair, you're actually intentionally lifting your cuticle. As your cuticle lifts, you have a million other strands of hair on your head, right? So if you have one strand of hair with a raised cuticle and another strand of hair with pieces of cuticle raised, and those touch each other, it creates friction. That creates tangling, that creates frizz, you know, that creates all of those things because it's kind of like Velcro, right? They just kind of get like locked, they can get locked together. The frizz can kind of just like, the cuticle can cause like the hair to not lay flat with the rest of your hair. And so split ends are a lifted cuticle on your ends. And the idea is that eventually it's your hair, the ends of your hair just keep splitting and splitting and splitting, and it gets shorter and shorter. Technically, the only way to get rid of split ends is to cut them off. There's some, you know, you can manage split ends with using, you know, brushing hair, bringing your natural oils down to the ends of your hair, keeping it in that like smooth, straight motion. You really should only ever be touching your hair in the direction the cuticle goes. So starting at the, you know, your scalp and moving it down to the ends. You shouldn't ever be going like backwards. And so, you know, if you flip your hair upside down and you like shake it for volume, just keep that in mind that you're not going back. You're just still going like forward. You know, you can still do all of the things that you do with your hair normally. You just want to make sure you're always just keeping it in a way that, like, you know, keeps the cuticle of your hair in mind. And so that is going to help manage your split ends. It's going to help you get less split ends. Brushing, you know, oiling the ends and just kind of constantly moving in that lower motion. You know, people can only hear my voice right now, but if you see me on camera, I'm just kind of like going over the ends of my hair. And, you know, my hair is getting less frizzy, right? Because I'm like, and all I'm doing is touching it. Just going over and over in the same motion from my scalp to my ends, just kind of touching my hair. So, yeah, eventually you'll probably want to do a trim on your ends just to get some of those off. And you'll be able to notice the difference really quickly once you get accustomed to like the no poo method of like how your hair looks when the oil, it's just not retaining the oil, natural oils anymore, because the cuticle is just too raised. Generally that hair will get a loss in texture as well. So if you have curly hair, it might be your ends might be a little bit straighter. You know, and it's an easy fix. You can just trim it. But if you're someone who doesn't like to do trims often, or you're feeling like you want to just kind of try a little bit more, yeah, just natural oils, brushing. You can do, you know, a proper coconut oil mask just on, you know, the very tips of your hair if you want. Just things like that can help.
It makes so much sense, because I only used heat on my hair a handful of times in my life. And so... And with blow drying too, I barely diffused as a kid. So are there some quick – so basically if somebody uses heat, say, every day, would you say that oiling would be even more important just to really protect the hair? I know there's heat protectants, but those are probably toxic. What would you give, like, just some quick recommendations for someone that uses heat? Other than – I mean, of course, hopefully – they're reducing the amount of heat, but someone who's really dead set on using heat on their hair.
Someone who's really dead set on using heat on their hair, I mean, you want to use the lowest level of heat possible and find as many alternate methods as you can, really. Using this method, the thing that you know, a lot of heat protected serums are formulated for heat protection with synthetic ingredients. When you're using oils on your hair, you know, you have to take the smoke point of the oil in mind, because we know that certain oils oxidize and cause damage at lower temperatures than others. So thinking about like your saturated fats here, you know, your monounsaturated fats, generally like castor, coconut oil, avocado oil, tallow, squalane, all of those are generally less likely to oxidize when you put heat on them, and they're less likely, they're, you know, but you, they still all have smoke points. So you need to look up the smoke point and make sure that you're not putting heat high that gets hotter. So this is easier for a hair, like a flat iron or a curling iron, because generally they'll adjust the temperature. And this is when the quality of your tools come in mind too. Generally, a more expensive product is going to have more even heat production. So you're not going to have like really hot, like a curling iron that's like $25, you know, from Walmart. You probably notice if you've ever curled your hair with something like that, it's really hot in some areas and not in others, and you don't get a uniform curl. So not only is that probably focusing way too much heat on one part of your hair, but also you're going to have to go over it several times. You know, you're aiming for like a really nice high quality tool with even distribution that can maintain the heat, that is truly the temperature it says that you select on the dial, that you really only have to go over on your hair one time. So you're curling one strand of hair once, you're not having to go back. You know, you're taking one pass with the flat iron and you're not having to go back to it, versus going over and over and over the same piece, which is what causes a lot of damage. And then, yeah, just getting creative. So like, you know, what can you do to use less heat on your hair? For people who have a natural wave, who, you know, like to curl the pieces around your face, you can, you know, you can twist the pieces away from your face as your hair air dries. And that's naturally going to give you like a wave that goes away from your face. You know, for people who have more like wavy or curly hair and want it to be more controlled, braiding can be really nice. So like braiding your hair into like 3 or 4 French braids on your head, even just 2 before you go to bed, waking up in the morning, taking them out, you know, that gives you more control. The heatless curls method, you know, that's really nice too for people with straight hair who like to curl their hair. You know, there's just so many different options now that like you can definitely get creative, and find some even heat-free alternatives you can do like once or twice a week to give your hair a break.
I need to learn how to French braid my hair. I tried recently and I was so frustrated and my arms hurt and I gave up again. I'm going to try again.
Yeah, you have a lot of hair. But you could also probably totally go. I mean, it's like not, it's a little like, you know, maybe not quite so easy if you're trying to do this every night before bed, but you could totally probably go to a salon and be like, if I come in with wet hair, how much will you charge me to braid it? You know, and they can totally do a quick braid.
That's a good idea. Yeah. I've always had my mom French braid my hair because I can't do it either, Gabby. You're not alone. Like,
it's so hard. I was watching a YouTube video and she was like, this is the best video. And people were like, oh my God, this is incredible. Thank you so much. And I did it. And I was like, I literally can't do this. Like, you're so far ahead of me and I'm not even at step two. So hard. But I want to, it's a life goal because if I have girls one day, I know they're going to have hair like me and I want to be able to French braid their hair.
But if you would be able to French braid your hair if you could take your head off and put it on the table in front of you and do it. Like when you have girls, you'll be able to French braid their hair. It's like the angle and doing it yourself and all of that that makes it hard.
Yeah, exactly. I have a friend who can do French braids on her friends, but can't really do it on herself. So yeah, that makes sense. I'm someone who had ringlets as a baby. And growing up, all I did was do my best to try to get rid of any curl that I had. Like I was flat ironing my hair like crazy, not embracing my curls. And now as I'm older, I have found that I don't put heat on my hair as much. And that is what truly I feel like made the biggest difference in getting more of my curl back, even though it's more like wavy. But like I have yet to see this in like years. Like it's been a while since I've seen any like movement in my hair. So I really feel like, yeah, but like you said, there's so many different options now that we have in order to not put as much heat. And maybe it's not going completely heat-free, but like that's kind of just what works for me, just reducing the heat on my hair. It's made a big difference for sure. And coloring, oh my gosh, completely ruined my hair too. Like, and the curls, like they just, it wrecked everything.
There's a lot of things that can disrupt curls. A lot of people have curlier hair than they realize. And it's, you know, we have two different types of like bonds that affect the shape of our hair. We have hydrogen bonds, which are affected by water. So, you know, that's when you're like flat ironing your hair and then, you know, you get it wet and it goes back to straight. That's a hydrogen bond. But then you have your disulfide bonds, which are like your, the natural state of your hair. And you have to use chemicals really to break those down. So if you think about a perm, what a perm does is it breaks those disulfide bonds and then it rebonds them in the shape that it wants the hair to be. But what we don't realize, a lot of people don't realize, is that, you know, disulfide bonds can take, they take like everyday strain and wear, with heat. Shampoo affects this, the shape, you know, your disulfide bonds, all of those things weaken them over time. And then your hair gets less vibrant as it was. And so that's why a lot of people find that with the going no poo, their hair gets curlier. And the same way a lot of people who do the curly curl method or my Sovereign Curls method find that when they stop using heat on their hair gets curlier over time, because, you know, they're not doing those. They don't have it. They don't, those disulfide bonds are able to like be at their best, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. And something that I've always been confused about, I feel like whenever I would regularly go in for my haircuts every 3 months, I've always wanted like longer hair. And it wasn't until for the past like year or two, I heard that like if you want to grow your hair out, just don't cut it. But then as I wasn't cutting it, I noticed that it was like more tangled. And then when I cut it, it felt better. But I don't know if I'm like still reaching my goal of like longer hair. So what are your thoughts on haircuts? Do we need to go like every 12 weeks or is it more? Is it less for others? Like what determines that?
It depends on a few things. So it depends on the shape that you wear your hair. For people who wear their hair all one length or don't have a lot of layers, generally they can go a lot longer in between haircuts. people who would do more layers or, you know, like a lot of volume in their hair. So that's why they have the layers. They generally can start to tell when the shape shifts and they need a haircut. So you'd either do a haircut to maintain a shape that you're going for, or you would do it to, you know, for like the hair hygiene itself to get rid of the split ends. And that, of course, changes based on how much heat you're using, how much you're coloring, etc. So people who are using heat on their hair every day and coloring it every 6 weeks probably need a haircut every 6 to 8 weeks. But if you're not, I mean, I think once or twice a year is totally fine. And you can even go longer. It's your hair, it's your body, and you know it best. So if it feels fine, then keep going. But if you feel like it gets to a point where it's either harder for you to manage, that means it's tangling more, it's just not like as smooth or what you want it to look like. You're having to do more work to get it to look like how you wanted it to. Or, you know, you're just noticing that your hair just isn't growing, like it's reached a point and it just stops growing and you can't really get it to go beyond that. You probably want to start getting your hair trimmed more frequently.
Okay. So there's not like no like one size fits all. It's not a blanket statement all around. There's kind of like the nuance as with everything.
Like, it sounds like, Gabby, you probably could go beyond a year and be fine. I don't know how often you get your hair cut, but you're saying, like, you just kind of keep it low maintenance and you don't use heat. You've only used heat a handful of times. Like, you probably don't really need that much. Whereas, Kiara, if you're going for more of a certain aesthetic or you're using heat on your hair once in a while, I would say, like, 3 to 6 months is a good place for you to look at first and then adjust from there.
Makes perfect sense. Beautiful. Well, as we wrap up the show, is there anything else that you feel like is pertinent and that you'd like to share with our listeners here today?
Basically, I think that, you know, it's just like any other relationship in our body. Our hair is like one of our most important relationships because I feel like so many women have like such a strong emotional connection to their hair and it represents so much, you know, and it really is like as women, it can be a really big part of our identity. And so it's just, I just want to encourage everyone to really lean in to, you know, developing a relationship with this part of our body and seeing where it takes us. And this can look like, you know, there's so many different areas that this look can, you can benefit from doing this in terms of like, you know, self-confidence, body literacy, understanding yourself and just, you know, really freeing yourselves from the systems that tell you that you have to do something or look a certain way in order to be considered beautiful or socially acceptable. And, you know, that's not at all how it is. So just keeping that in mind when you start this journey and just really taking it as like what it is to like lean in and like do the work to get to the point where, you know, you can truly enjoy your hair without really having to do much to it at all. That's the goal.
Perfect ending. Thank you so much, Arielle. Where can everyone find you and keep up with you and get started on their hair journey?
You can find me over on Instagram. I'm at Arielle De Martinez. And that's my website too. So that's where all my hair care guides are. And I have a lot of so much information on Instagram about hair care, herbal hair care. So
you really do. I save so many of your posts and I send them to my friends all the time. My clients, when they ask me about something, I'm like, check out Arielle. So you guys, if you haven't checked her out yet, please do so. And we hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.
Thank you so much for listening. We learned so much from Arielle and hope that you feel really empowered in your hair care journey. If you love this episode, we would so, so, so appreciate if you could leave us a review. It's so quick and really helps us grow the show and bring on some more incredible guests.
And in case you haven't downloaded our freebie yet, Gabby and I put together a freebie called Digesting Well. So this is for you if you struggle with digestive issues. It's completely free and it's also really easy to access on the go. So all you got to do is click the link in the show notes and download Digesting Well, which is a two-part freebie. Gabby put together a mini lesson on digestion for you and I put together a mini somatic audio practice
for healthy digestion that you'll want to have with you at mealtime. And if you're ready for more, don't forget to check out our brand new course called Body Basics. This is where Gabby and I are integrating both nutrition and nervous system healing because they both matter. And it really just comes back down to the basics. These are things that Gabby and I come back to again and again and again, no matter how advanced we are in this body of work. So we hope you enjoy and check it out. And we will see you on the next episode, my friends.